Hey, everybody. Welcome to Reality TV Wrap-Ups, your one-stop shop for all the reality TV Rob doesn't want to do himself, but once done on Rob Has a Podcast anyway. My name is Jessica Leese, and you may know me as your senior Amazing Race correspondent. And because I am here, that probably means we're talking about Amazing Race. Specifically, we're probably talking about the third installment in CBS's awesome triumvirate of Price is Right reality crossovers that happened earlier this week. So, of course, with me to talk about it is the other two-thirds of my awesome Amazing Race triumvirate, Mr. Mike Bloom and Mr. Dan Heaton. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. And I know it's not a video podcast, but the listeners should know that we are flanking you as if we were on Contestants Row with you, urging you to bid on smartwatches.
Yes, we are. We're going to give you really great advice that may or may not cost you prizes.
And Dan has a giant beard.
Yes, I do. I've grown it since the last video podcast.
That's amazing. I couldn't really hope for any more than that. And of course, like, we're all standing there, like, clinging to each other like those little monkeys with the Velcro hands, because apparently that's what you do on The Price is Right when you have a coach.
Well, I feel like we're going to do a lot of cross comparisons between the past two primetime specials that happened the previous two nights with Survivor and Big Brother with this one. I feel like as the 3 days went along, everyone just got a little more touchy feeling. I mean, when I was on the Survivor recap with Rob and Scott Green recapping the Survivor version, we talked about how Jeff Probst stayed, like, uncharacteristically away from everybody, whereas now we get to Phil Kogan, who's just ready to get into the mix. He's hopping up and down with everybody. He's having a great time and ready to just get his hands all over every person that gets up on that stage.
Well, in fairness, that's kind of the difference between Jeff Probst and Phil Kogan to begin with.
Could you imagine how Survivor would have been had Phil gotten that job, as was, you know, once talked about behind the scenes?
That's kind of insane. I can't imagine, like, even Phil has his limits. Like, if you are doing a task where you smell bad, he's not going to let you touch him. So I imagine that had to be the case on Survivor as well.
Yeah, and I love Phil's enthusiasm. He was like, he was on his shoulders trying to carry the show to being the best of the three. And he tried his best. He gave it a good shot. He was really trying. Julie Chen, not so much, but Phil was giving it a shot.
Oh my God, Phil. I mean, we talked before about Jeff Probst's, like, weird cartoony giffy moments of, you know, his really creepy smile and tiptoeing over. We have a big panel open to reveal Phil doing, like, a flash dance parody of him, you know, running on his tiptoes. He's gallivanting around the stage. He does all the dramatics of the rip it and read it. He even starts the show by going, you know, get ready, safe travels, go. And so I feel like Phil is the biggest host that's really able to buy into the cheese that the reality shows come with. So yes, even though you might argue that the quality of the show went down over the course of the week, I feel like the quality of the host being involved went up over the course of the week.
Yeah, and I think that's all down to Phil being willing to do anything. Like, he has always been kind of, he's not even quite up to, like, the John Montgomery levels of, you know, demonstrating all the tasks himself. But, you know, he's right there. He feels like he has a lot more direct involvement with the contestants, I think, than either Jeff Probst, who kind of sees them and, like, heckles them at challenges and snuffs their torches, or Julie Chen, who doesn't actually even directly interact with them at all until they're out of the house. So I could see Phil already being a little more social.
Yeah, it seems like he doesn't really have to stretch very much to enjoy it. Like, even Jeff, he was having fun. He's hugging people. He's doing all that stuff. But I feel like Jeff in a little bit is like, okay, I need to step up my game here and do this. Where Phil's like, oh, I could do this every day. Phil could host the show, you know, but which I wouldn't mind seeing, though I do like Drew. It's a little more of a stretch for Jeff. Phil, he's that guy.
So I know I've been on before to talk about these specials, but we haven't heard from you two guys about what your thoughts were in general when you heard that this thing was happening. Three CBS reality show primetime themed Price is Right specials. I know, Jess, you've been on the podcast before to talk about game shows specifically, and even though you're the only one on the panel to have not been on the Price is Right so far, are you a fan of the show, and did you like this idea when you heard about it?
I am a fan of the show insofar as, and I think I would wager that, you know, Dan and I are pretty close in age, and Mike, you have never been alive at a time when there was no Price is Right.
Exactly. It's all I know in this world.
So I think we all probably had that experience of when we were in elementary school and you didn't have school for whatever reason, like if it was a holiday or a snow day or you were sick. I think we all had that experience of, all right, I get to watch The Price is Right. And that is probably the extent of my fandom of the show. Like, I appreciate it. It's a fun thing to watch. I love the dynamics of it. It's a very colorful and exciting show. I could never be a contestant on this program because every single person that goes on this show has so much energy and enthusiasm. And I am pretty sure that level of energy and enthusiasm is impossible to fake.
I am in a similar boat in terms of watching it during elementary school, because but I love The Price is Right. I watched it sometimes, like when I had college classes, and like you'd have those like 8 a.m. to 9 or whatever. I'd come back to the dorm and be like, it's 10, what do I do? Okay, I'll watch The Price is Right. So I love it, and I tend to get into the yelling at the screen and telling the bids are stupid, so I'm more on that end. But I am with you, Jess, in terms of, even though I love it in terms of like the numbers and everything, I don't think I could have a big enough personality. Like, I couldn't run up and just like hug Drew and hug the models and pick people up and just do all that crazy stuff. I would be like, this is too much. So who knows? Maybe if I was in the studio, I would do it all. But I do love the show.
Though we were talking actually before we recorded about this, when, again, if we're comparing this to the two previous days, I would feel like overall this audience probably had the lowest energy out of all three nights. Now, I do believe that these were also filmed in three back-to-back days earlier on in the spring. And I don't know if it's whether, you know, the audience that was picked was just of a lower energy, or whether it speaks more so on a meta level to the popularity of The Amazing Race in ratio to the popularity of Big Brother and Survivor. But it seemed like these super fans of this audience in general was not as frenetic and seemingly cocaine addled as the previous two nights were.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that some of that is down to, we don't really have people like, I think there are many more people that can get like that over both Price is Right and Survivor, or even both Price is Right and Big Brother. But I think it really speaks to the kind of dwindling popularity levels of The Amazing Race that the most excited people on this show didn't seem to really care whether or not there were Amazing Race people there or not.
Yeah, and also I think, too, it's how the shows are. Like Survivor and Big Brother, a lot of it is about the personalities of the people. I know there's the game, but both of those, it's like people connect to Rupert or whatnot, you know. But on Amazing Race, a lot of it's about the travel and, you know, there are characters, but really, as far as, you know, just say name the five biggest characters or whatever. And some of it ends up being people like Rachel from Big Brother or Boston Rob or whatever. And so that says something there where it's like, maybe the show isn't really built for this in the same way.
Do you think it was unfair that Rachel and Boston Rob weren't given a second chance at The Price is Right by having them appear 2 days later on the Amazing Race version?
You know, I just want to say that if we're going to cast another All-Star season, that's a crossover team I want to see.
I'm Rachel and Boston Rob.
Yes, on the same team.
That would be pretty amazing. I mean, I don't know if Boston Rob is ever going to stop having children enough to pursue more reality fame. He's got enough washers and dryers at this point, apparently. Rachel seems like she's willing to go now that she's had her kid, but that'd be fun. They could bond over being parents while simultaneously breaking down to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can't wait to see the first eating challenge.
Oh my gosh. that should be a whole season of The Amazing Race. Basically crossovers from Big Brother and Survivor, weird teams. I think that I would be excited to see.
Amazing Race Blind Date CBS Reality Crossover Edition.
Hell of a subtitle there.
The title needs a little work, but I'm telling you.
A little bit of retooling.
I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, and it might say something, too. Yeah, that even we, the Amazing Race experts, are a bit cynical about the Amazing Race. And if that's the case, that doesn't say a lot for the general public and their interest.
Look, I'm just glad this special wasn't pushed to mid-season, because otherwise it'd be really awkward if it aired in the middle of January.
Yeah. Well, you know, when MacGyver gets canceled, then we can air the special.
Well, MacGyver's never going to get canceled. He's going to, like, uncancel himself with a gum wrapper and a paperclip.
Okay, so we should probably talk about this too. Before, I know we're getting super tangential here before we get into the show proper, but I feel like of the three shows, this is the only one that actually received a big piece of news in the past couple of weeks, which is CBS debuted their fall TV schedule. And for the first time since post Amazing Race 11, Amazing Race was not on the fall TV schedule. And so what we're assuming is that it'll be a mid-season replacement in quotation question marks for MacGyver. I mean, this caused Amazing Race fans to melt down a little bit and for them to, you know, question the survival rate of the show. But Jess, I mean, this is Viva Laughlin all over again, right?
Yeah. Yeah. For those of you who are, you know, don't have the memories of elephants or who have not been on the Amazing Race train all along, we're talking here about Amazing Race season 12, which was held for exactly the same reason. They wanted to debut some other television. Specifically, they wanted to debut this program called Viva Laughlin, which was a remake of a British show called Viva Blackpool. And this show had Hugh Jackman in it, and it was about a casino, and people would randomly break into song in the middle of it, and they would.
Yeah, I remember him. The commercial specifically talked about him singing "I'm Still Standing" while walking down an escalator that's going up at the same time.
Yes, and it was also they never. It wasn't even like karaoke singing, and it wasn't like show tune-y singing. Sometimes they would have the original track, the original music playing in the background, and people would sing along with it. It was so weird. And every Amazing Race fan in the country was sitting rapt, waiting for Viva Laughlin to fail and fail hard. And it did. Like, it was less than a month. I think it ran for 4 episodes and it got canceled. Amazing Race 12 showed up. And, you know, here we are 16 seasons later.
Yeah, and it's weird because when that point, I thought the show was on the edge of being canceled, even though they'd have had the All-Stars. And then 12 did well, better than they thought in a short season. And then now we're here where, I don't know, I think it'll be on by November.
Okay, that's very optimistic.
Yeah.
January?
You know, personally, since I'm taking the whole fall off, I'm okay with it if they just decide not to air Amazing Race because they saw that I wasn't going to be covering it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this actually does speak to an interesting point that I believe actually when the three of us got together on, it might have been like the Amazing Race 27 podcast when Dan and I came on in lieu of Rob's absence, where I'm not exactly mad at this decision because I do feel like the past two seasons were okay. They were fine, but there is something in this idea of what if the Amazing Race only did one season every year? If they were allowed to concentrate production almost doubly into one season rather than feeling like they had to spread themselves across two different routes that'll be covered over the course of a calendar year, will that make for a better quality race? And my assumption would be yes, though, you know, from what we had heard about the theming of season 29, I'm not entirely sure if that statement would hold true, but it is an interesting idea. And if 29 does well, I wonder if production would think about, okay, what if we had, you know, CBS try out a show in the fall and then in the spring we air Amazing Race on Friday nights?
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I got no problems with it.
Me neither. And the only thing, I mean, I would love if they did that because then it would also, it put a little more pressure on them, maybe. I mean, not they're trying to do a great show, but it really make them go, we've got to hit this out of the park every year. And maybe they've gotten a little bit lax at times. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think there's only so many things you can do. Like, this is a great format. It served us very well. But over time, they do seem to sort of blur together. And it was not always like that. And I think I got to step back a second and tell you guys how I spent my weekend last weekend. We had a little mini reunion of a group of original old school Tar fans who all, like the original TarCon attendees, people that have been, many of whom have been talking to each other online on various forums from season one. And we got together in a bar. We hooked up a laptop and watched the finales of like the first four seasons. And it really struck me like how intense and exciting those episodes were compared to a lot of what we've gotten now. And I think taking some time off and stepping back from it, having some extra time to kind of get something really good in the can, could maybe infuse that kind of freshness into it again.
Speaking like you're talking about grocery products featured on one of the games during The Price is Right.
Yeah. Who knew cold medicine was so expensive? But anyway, those are my thoughts. And I honestly, I'm going to watch it whenever it, you know, whenever MacGyver crashes and burns, I will be there to pick Amazing Race up out of the dirt. But, you know, it's interesting. I think I'm going to be very curious to see how it's received once, you know, we take a little break and once people don't have it to kick around.
Well, I guess speaking of which, we should probably get to the issue at hand, which is, you know, Amazing Race might be out for now, but Amazing Race Price is Right is still in at the moment.
Yes, it absolutely is. And everybody who is anybody was watching Amazing Race Price is Right last night. So let's just get right to it and let's talk a little bit about, well, first of all, I want to know what you guys think of, you know, globally speaking, do you think we got a good cross section of racers?
I think some of the choices were good and were obvious, but there were a few head scratchers in there. They were definitely going recent. And yeah, I mean, it's all about who you can get, I guess. But I feel like about 2/3 maybe of the groups that were down there, I was behind. But hey, some of the, you know, one of the ones that I don't understand how they got on, got all the way to the end and won. So,
yeah, hey. How Amazing Race appropriate that the team that you didn't understand how they got to the end won. If that's our Beekman allegory, right? In the case of Aaron and Jocelyn.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I know Dan was probably shedding a lone tear like that Native American in that pollution commercial when he found out that like nobody pre season 17 had really like made it down, or season 15, I guess, in the case of the Globetrotters. I mean, like you said, it's about who you can get. I mean, looking at the previous two nights, it's very clear that they had picked a select nine teams and then pretty much told any other teams slash contestants that were in the area, hey, come be seat fillers, essentially. That's why you see, you know, Ben Browning and half of the Dirty 30 in Survivor. That's why you see LaJuan in Big Brother. And that's why you see, I mean, who did we see here? We got the Beards from season 23. We got Misa and Maya, Art and JJ, Justin and Zev, who Zev was not having it from some of the close-ups that were on him in the audience. I was a little sad that the Chippendales didn't get called up. I thought they were, they might have been the most snubbed team out there. But yeah, like Dan said, I mean, we got very recent teams. And if we didn't get very recent teams, we were getting teams that were either multiple returnees or those, in the case of Brooke and Claire, that were very much considered for returning seasons. But that being said, it was nice to see people like Nat and Kat, who I haven't thought about in a good long time, come out of the woodwork.
Yeah. And I loved Nat and Kat. Season 17, probably my favorite cast. So that was nice. Although, yeah, I'm with Dan on this one, and Dan hasn't even verbalized this opinion, but I can feel it. I'm sick of this show acting like it premiered in 2009, because we have a rich history of racers to draw from. And I do think there's an extra logistical angle that they have to consider here, which is that you can't really have one member of a team show up. So you have to be sure you can get both members.
They've
of the team.
Done it before.
Yeah, I know.
They can make composite teams happen.
And how did that work out for us?
Well, just ask Mark. He's in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm not surprised because, I mean, I think back and I was like, who would they pick from those early seasons that, you know, I mean, their resonance has continued and that, they, I mean, yeah, I'd love to say get Ken and Gerard out there, but I could see many people in the audience being like, who didn't see season three or, you know, or get Kevin and Drew, but are they still following it? You know, it's get Robin Brennan. You got the winners from season one, but it's tricky. You know, I did really like seeing the two teams from season 17. And so it wasn't like, I mean, it could have been something where they had, you know, Justin and Diana, and then they had, you know, the
I'm sure they wanted to get down there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they could have just done almost all the 20s and maybe like one team. So at least they went into the teens a little bit. So I try to give them a little benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And there are certain teams, I think, I don't like to try to designate like who's a casual fan and who's a devoted fan, but I think you really have to think about anybody that's ever watched this show. You ask them to name an Amazing Race team. And, you know, we were talking about it earlier. It is harder to do that. But if you do ask them, there are a few teams they're going to name and you need those teams or the concept doesn't work.
And I was at least grateful that even though Art and JJ were smiling, waving their hands around in the crowd, they did not get called upon, which the only thing that would have been sweeter is if they got Frankie Grande and got called up there to contestants row and just didn't make it out whatsoever.
Oh, boy.
That was very a relief, I will say. I mean, Big Brother had Dr. Will, but I guess he's been on it since season two, right? So he's
yeah,
not
but, and, but he's also and yet again, we're talking about like how they acknowledge their franchises. I mean, Big Brother constantly likes to bring, I mean, they brought Mike Boogie back, what, like 3 years ago? Like Dr. Will came to the jury house one time to talk to people a couple of years ago. And Survivor is also, you know, the people that got called up, as I talked about in the other podcast, were big faces of the franchise, whether they be, you know, all of them either competed on Heroes versus Villains or Survivor Cambodia or some sort of returnee season. Here's a little bit more slim picking. So they said, okay, let's pick from our most recent crowd, even though, you know, I would say Nat and Kat and Aaron and Jocelyn are arguably the two kind of outliers here. For the most part, the teams that were picked were kind of the most popular teams from the past, what, like 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, I almost think, you know, as much as I complained about bringing them back a third time, you can't really do this concept if you don't have Flight Time and Big Easy on board.
Well, I also don't have, now that we are 2 years removed from Amazing Race 24, I was totally fine seeing the Globetrotters and the Afghanimals again. Whereas if this had been filmed like a year later, you know, just like I even felt fatigued seeing people from Survivor Cambodia and people from Big Brother 17 on The Price is Right, because we've been talking about them nonstop since the summer / the fall. And even, you know, we had Tyler and Corey and Aaron and Jocelyn, but I don't know, again, maybe it's because this season was more subdued comparatively in terms of internet fervor, but I didn't so much mind having these more recent contestants on, and especially not those from season 24, because it's been a long time since, outside our season rankings, we really talked about the Globetrotters that much.
Yeah, and they seem to have fun too. Like, they seem like one of the teams that, I mean, yes, Leo and Jamal were themselves, but the Globetrotters seem to have, I seem like they had the right spirit with it, like probably because they've been on camera a lot. They didn't seem like a little awkward. So I was like, oh, they're kind of fun to see for a little bit of time. It's cool. I'm not upset we didn't have Jet and Cord there, but, you know, it's cool. You know,
well, that's where the camera mugging skills really come in handy. Like, I can only imagine how BJ and Tyler would have done on this show.
Oh, geez.
Oh, gosh.
They would have broken the show. And it's like the first people to get ejected from The Price is Right for being too enthusiastic.
Oh, man. But yeah, so the group's good overall. I mean, it's fine. I mean, Mark and Bopper, they're fun to see, too, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the other thing that I think all these teams had in common, like maybe, I don't know if I necessarily associate like Nat and Kat with this, but these are all the most upbeat, enthusiastic, Price is Righty teams. So all the people that you would really want on your side. And, you know, as much as we kind of, the Afghanimals were kind of annoying to me, like especially in season 23, just because they were so muggy and so like relentlessly energetic all the time. That plays well on Price is Right. And I was thinking, like, while I watched them play, man, if I was going to have a coach, I would want them coaching me, or I would want the Globetrotters coaching me, because I think that's really kind of energy that's made for this show.
Yeah, as much as, Dan, you talked about wanting to see old school teams in there, I don't know if, like, Terry and Ian would really work as coaches on this show.
I would love to see it, though. Even though I know it'd be a disaster, it would make me laugh really hard.
It really would. I want Colin and Christy, and I want Colin to, like, lose his shit about the wheel.
Yeah, I want him to, like, punch his fist through one of those smart TVs.
Well, I want to play Punch a Bunch with Colin and Christy.
And you'll automatically win $25,000.
Yes. He's just going to knock the display over. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about, like, just, I'm not going to necessarily go through each prize and each game and, like, who bid what when and do we think it was a good bid? Because I think with very few exceptions, the bidding is not necessarily the exciting part of this. But we should go in game by game and talk a little bit about the people involved. And I think we have a really interesting entree to this part of the podcast because we really have to talk about the first contestant that gets called up to play a game, because this blew my freaking mind.
Who knew Monifa Sims of Will Sims 2 Gas Pump Jay Leno fame was an Amazing Race fan?
Yeah, I mean, she clearly was, because she had an Amazing Race clue stapled to the front of her plain yellow t-shirt.
Something tells me, like, the producers, like, hung it around her like a dog collar, like, oh crap, here you go. Because, I mean, Will was in the peanut gallery during the Survivor special, because, again, he was in California and he was a Survivor contestant, so they just needed him to sort of fill out the back row there. But I just don't know what the behind the scenes info was that got Monifa not only in the audience but on the show. It just seems like, I joked about nepotism on the Survivor podcast, but this really is literal nepotism going on.
Yeah, although in fairness to Will and Monifa, which, you know, there's a way I start a lot of sentences, I think I would guess they do watch the show. And in fact, I would guess that Amazing Race may well be how we got Will Sims in the CBS reality universe in the first place, because I would bet dollars to donuts they tried out for Amazing Race as a team and Will got shunted over to Survivor.
Yeah, that would make sense. I actually wondered when I saw this, I was like, no, Will wasn't popular enough. I was like, what are they trying to do here? But she, you know, it was weird. And she gave that whole speech about Mark and Bopper, and she was so poised for someone being on TV. I was like, this doesn't feel like the normal kind of awkward, goofy Price is Right contestant either. It was just a weird scene. And she totally destroyed the game, too, which is my favorite Price is Right game. And it ends up being with Monifa. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, she was great all around, I think. And, you know, there is something to be said for someone that has a little on-camera experience. They tend to be people you want to watch a little bit
on hidden camera experience.
Quote, unquote.
Do you think that's in her resume? Like, hidden camera work, Jay Leno show?
Yeah, I did the same sketch twice, several years apart for Jay Leno, and pretended I was just doing it on the spot.
So I'm good at improv.
Yeah, well, the best part of this was, I was settling in to watch this last night, and I was making dinner, like, while they were calling people to contestants row. And then I dropped a plate in the kitchen and it shattered everywhere, and I had to, like, clean up plate shards. So I missed, like, the first 5 minutes. I come out and Monifa is playing the game, and my husband says, Monifa, that's kind of an unusual name. And I said, oh, you know, what's funny is that's not the first Monifa I've ever encountered in my life. The wife of one of the guys from Survivor was named Monifa. And of course, like, 5 minutes later, it hits me, of course, that is, in fact, the one Monifa that I am familiar with already.
Now, this would only be made more convenient if you were cooking dead fish as a meal.
Yes. Yeah, I had some stingray, and I had some
monkey.
Monkey dung and some stingrays and some dead fish. But yeah, I was very impressed. Like, Cliffhanger's not an easy game, and she nailed it.
And this is actually the game that our very own Brent Wolgamott played on The Price is Right as well. So it's a game that he knows very well. And yeah, she pretty much, I mean, comparing her and Brent's performances, obviously it was different objects, but I mean, even though she bid a good amount over on the last item, which I think was the hair dryer, she still like got in what, like within $10 overall for all three products, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's one of the better ones I've seen, because usually people play this game and I'm just like, what are you doing? And the guy goes off the cliff, which is fun, but she knew it's like 20, 30, 40, basically, not to go too far down the other road. But yeah, she destroyed it. You could tell she had seen it before. And she won a trip to South Africa, you know, which kind of connects to the Amazing Race, I guess. So that's fun. But I'm disappointed that, you know, another thing about Bonifa is she also was on, they put her in the spot where basically you get to bid last the first time.
The Rupert spot.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. It's almost like they wanted her up there right away. Or they wanted Mark and Bopper up there.
I'm assuming it's the latter.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But, you know, there's something to be said for getting like a good person up there. And the one drawback to her doing so well on a cliffhanger is that you didn't really get to hear the song very much. I think the best is when someone gets something really wrong and you get to hear the song over and over and over.
So we did get to see Bopper dance along to the song, which, by the way, it's good to find out that this man is in good health after what, his pancreas was like about to explode in the beginning of Amazing Race 24.
Yeah, he got a brand new pancreas or something. Maybe he got MacGyver to make a new one for him. That was the trade-off that Amazing Race paid.
Well, I asked my wife if I could yodel on the podcast, and she said no. So I'm going to hold back from trying to recreate the song.
But I like your wife.
She said no, that's a bad idea. I was very disappointed.
They should have gotten Tim and Danny to recreate the yodeling song.
Yeah, that I would have watched. We got so many other great season 23 teams for this episode. You might as well just bring them all back. All right. So, you know, Monifa wins her trip to South Africa. We got to give a shout out here to one of our listeners. Our listener, Randy, who also helped us out a lot with scorekeeping on Rob's and My Fantasy Draft this past season. He guessed that the first prize that would be given away would have something to do with the Amazing Race. And he guessed perhaps it would have something to do with the first destination they ever went to, which was Zambia. And he's like, they're not going to give away a trip to Zambia, but they could give one away to South Africa. And he was bang on. So,
yeah,
good one, Randy.
Yeah, well, because the Survivor one was trip to Borneo, and the Big Brother one was a trip to the Netherlands, because that's where the show began. I mean, I guess so of the three locations, I guess you could do like a ding, marry, kill of Borneo, Netherlands, and South Africa. I don't know. I'm stuck between the Netherlands and South Africa, personally, for my ding.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to marry South Africa, and I'm going to ding Borneo, and I'm going to kill the Netherlands.
Oh, you're going to kill the Netherlands. Yeah, it'd be hard. I think I'd go with that one too, actually.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going big, you got to, you know, if I've got to pick like between three trips, I'm going to pick the most interesting ones.
You don't call a trip to Amsterdam interesting?
I've been to Amsterdam. I haven't been to the other two.
That's true. Yeah, I guess you're the most well-traveled out of all of us as well, so you can probably speak more to this comparison than either one of us can.
They have very good pancakes there. But anyway, so then we move on to the Globetrotters get called up with their person, who is named Catherine, and she seems very nice. I do not know if she has actually seen The Amazing Race in her life. At one point, she does not remember the names of her two companions.
Big time.
Big time. But, you know, she could also have just been nervous and flustered, which happens to the best of us. She gets to play any number, which is one of those great game theory games. And she has the opportunity to win a car, which Flight Time and Big Easy kind of lose their shit over the fact that she gets to win a car.
Yeah, Bearded Flight Time is super interesting to me. It almost seems like he's, I don't want to say he's like transformed into evil, flight time, but I mean, like, he's like screaming while Drew is talking, like, "Where's the car? Bring us the car!" And it's like, this dude is like gone off the deep end at this point. I don't know what got drilled into his head when they've been maybe too much time on the road with the Globetrotters, but this guy was going a little crazy with Price is Right energy.
Hey, he can't be that evil. The Globetrotters got to meet the Pope, dude.
I also noticed that Big Easy totally blew, almost pulled a Woo, basically. And he was the one who was telling her, basically, no, it's got to be, you know, 470 for the tablet headphones. And I'm like, no, it's 8. It's 8. Don't do it. And then she did it. And at least she did not win the piggy bank. So I should not give him, he didn't totally blow it for her. He got her a nice tablet and headphones. So
that's got to be a really nice tablet. That's like twice as much money as my iPad cost.
Well, maybe it's the headphones that are really the most costly part of it all.
They're $400.
They weren't even Beats by Dre. Yeah, but it is not a car. She wins an Android tablet. Apparently a very, very nice one, but it is not a car.
So this game, Any Number, and you guys might have more experience with this type of games than I am. I mean, this one seemed, it's not like, I think we talked about with the game that Rupert played. That's a really hard one where it's just, hey, guess how, basically just guess what the price is. You know, just provide any sort of number. Whereas here, it's sort of around that, even though you kind of, the number, the digits you use get narrowed down each time you use one. But it still seems like a very hard game, comparatively speaking.
I think this one's more random. This one is one, I mean, I'm going to sound a little, this one is one more often than that game that Rupert played. And even the That's Too Much game that Wu messed up, those aren't one that often. And both of the car games in this one, especially my favorite car game, the Rat Race, those are some of the ones that get won a lot. I think they wanted the Amazing Race people to win more.
Yeah, that could be, like, maybe that's, and you know, spoiler alert, everybody on this episode did pretty well.
Like, yeah, even the people who didn't win their game, like, for example, like the Flight Time and Big Easy are not going to win this game, but they're going to win the showcase showdown.
Yeah. And the only two people that don't actually take their prizes home wind up in the showcase, in the showcase. And they also, like, this girl, she doesn't even win the showcase, but at least she walks away with the really expensive tablet. So everybody goes home with something. And that's kind of, I don't think that happens very many times.
Yeah, it was, there was no one who, I mean, I guess she also got those smart watches too. So she's like becoming very tech savvy here, but they also, yeah, you don't have anybody who went for a car, went for something big and got nothing and then won some stupid prize. So Amazing Race is the game of winners.
And comparatively speaking, like, these are good prizes to have because they'll fit in your luggage. And, you know, when you think about it, a lot of people on this show win some huge ass prizes that they can't even accept because they got no way to get them home.
Yeah, that's so true, though. I mean, they've told stories, though, about how they've, like, tried to sell the cars and they've had to, like, give away the trips because of tax purposes. And I mean, I looking at those showcases, which I'm sure we'll talk about, where one is just three vacations. Like, I can't imagine that the person who wins that would actually go on three vacations. You have to pawn at least some of that off for tax reasons.
Yeah,
I guess, and it then depends on the time.
Yeah. Well, we got to ding, marry, kill those eventually, too.
Oh, perfect. I love ding, marrying, and killing countries. Like, whole countries. That's the new way we're going with this game.
Whole countries. All right. So next up, this might be my favorite game of the night. We have this tiny old Canadian man named Chris, who his Amazing Race love is undetermined, but when there are two things I know he loves. Number one, he loves The Price is Right. And number two, he loves Krista and Tiffany, because who doesn't really? And I think he just loves having, like, two gorgeous women cheering him on. And he's really super into it. They're super really into it. And then we get Phil, who puts all of their enthusiasms to shame.
Yeah, his jogging in place, Phil's, was classic. I mean, this was just, and Tiffany and Krista, They were a lot of fun. I mean, I can complain about who, whatever, but they were fun. They're the right type of people to have on the show.
Now, this game seems a lot like something out of Supermarket Sweep. I was waiting for David Ruprecht to walk out and assist on this challenge, because it's essentially like, hey, price out these five grocery items.
And I love this game. And I feel like people always make mistakes, and he did make a mistake, but he caught himself. But I always remember this is one of the yell at the screen kind of games, which are always fun.
I just want to say he didn't make the mistake. He's not actually pulling any of the strings here. No. He basically let Krista and Tiffany play the game for him, which they were totally up for, and they were totally good at it.
I also liked how they mimed out the products and they were trying to receive messages from the audience. I think one that I specifically remember is when they were talking about the floor finish, and you could cut to Krista and Tiffany miming cleaning the floor to be like, oh, this is what you mean, right?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. And I liked the extra Krista pointing out, oh, no, I know how much that cough medicine was because she was sick last week.
Yeah, is that the equivalent of Boston Rob saying oh, I just got a washer and dryer. I've got this.
Apparently Boston Rob's washer and dryer was not nice enough, but that's a different podcast.
Yeah, no, this is fun because the Mucinex, $15. That is expensive stuff.
Yeah, well, apparently it works very well. But I actually, Krista has been all over social media with her photos from The Price is Right. And, she said it was kind of a bucket list thing to be able to go on the show. And, they let all the racers spin the wheel off camera. And they said that this guy was really sweet and he's giving all the money to his daughter. And they really couldn't have asked for a better person to play with. So I liked the positivity here.
Yeah, at least they didn't have to ride bikes and have other guys in the audience yell things at them.
Yeah, they don't really have to get street harassed in India. This is much better than that. Yeah. So we get to the wheel spinning, and we get I think this is definitely the best way to get eliminated from The Price is Right is to have Phil eliminate you. It works way better than having Jeff Probst pretend to snuff a torch, because Jeff Probst didn't even get to have an open flame.
Well, the thing is, though, I feel like at least with Julie and Jeff, and at least, Phil did have the Express Pass, which does not make any sense in the context of The Amazing Race. Express Pass, as we all know from John and Jessica, does not automatically mean you're moving on to the next round. But at least Jeff and Julie had props. Jeff had the insurmountably large torches. Julie had the memory wall and she had the key to give away. So I enjoyed that for the cheesy aspects. I would like to see Phil's corniness outside of that one moment included with the props that Julie and Jeff got.
See, Phil didn't need props though. His charisma was the prop. Julie needs that door. She can't do this. It was all Phil. He was selling it. It was totally Phil can sell it with nothing. I don't know. He raises the eyebrow. He eliminates somebody.
Yeah, it's true. Phil is above props. Yeah, I did enjoy that. How excited Flight Time and Big Easy were to receive an express pass.
Yeah, we got one.
It's do they think they're going to be able to do James from Survivor China and end up the next time they come back on the show? Are they going to be allowed to bring that with them and use it?
Yeah, everyone gets a luxury item on The Amazing Race.
Yeah. And there's just this express pass that, I guess, it's inevitable they're going to come back again. So you might as well.
Yeah, I think that they will come back. They're like the, I hate to say the Rupert, because that's really not nice to them, but they're kind of like the Rupert of the show.
They're totally the Rupert of the show.
Absolutely.
Actually, because no, Jet and Cord are the Rupert of the show. Flight Time and Big Easy are who's marginally enjoyable that keeps coming back to Survivor?
Oh. The ones I think of are a coach or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Or because I would say Tyson, but Tyson got more legitimate as a player as he went along, and Flight Time and Big Easy have only actually, they've gone from fourth to second to sixth. So it seems like they're doing a little worse every time they come on.
Yeah, it's true. I guess we don't really have a good analog, but I think Jet and Cord as the Rupert of Amazing Race, that's solid.
Plus, you have the whole, both of them, they really tried to milk, sob stories out of both their teams, specifically on their first times out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rock solid. All right, so we get to the second half of the show, and we get the Afghanimals, who are definitely a team you want playing Price is Right with you. And Samantha seems like the usual kind of contestant that you get on The Price is Right on any given day. She's got her like college shirt on and she's very excited to be there. And I see why they wanted her up on Contestants Row. And she gets to play the most boring game ever.
An easy game, too. Like, that was really obvious.
That's the one-minute game. So this is one of those. I know Scott Green and Brent have both talked about in their respective podcasts. This is like, there are hurry-up games that they put in there to be like, oh, even though it seemed like they even played this game, like, before the first half hour was up. So I don't know how much time they were really needing to hurry up for to be able to get everything out in an hour. But yeah, this game took longer to describe the trips than it did for the actual game to play out.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where it's like, well, we want to play Plinko, but we need to cut something else. And so this is what you get so that somebody else can play something more complicated, which, you know, I think that's the next one. I think we're basically, this is what we have to endure because of Rat Race. And I think it's worth it. But yeah, and this is such a Monty Hall kind of thing, too, because I think you always want to switch the prices. I don't think it really even matters what's up there. Always switch.
Well, even if you think about airfare, just from a logical standpoint, which do you think is more expensive to fly to, China or Peru?
Yeah, that was the difference. I was like, okay, I mean, unless they're just trying to fool with us, it has to be China. They want them to win.
Yeah, that really could not have been easier. So, I mean, congratulations. If she's going to take one of the trips, I hope she gets to take one. Maybe she'll even take both. I don't know what the tax situation is, but feel good for her.
And we do at least get an opportunity for another gif-able Phil moment here when he does like the switch dance on point shoes almost. It was fantastic to watch.
Phil was like Snoopy. He was doing the Snoopy dance.
He would just like take over the show and tell Drew to sit down if they let him. I think he could do every part. He would be all the models and all the parts.
Yeah, he would be the announcer as well.
He'd be like, you know, in the new Willy Wonka when they made one guy do all the Oompa Loompas. They do that but with Phil.
Again, I would watch the hell out of that. It would take some CGIing, but it would be so worth it. So before we move on to the next game, I want to call out one of the contestants who did not make it off of Contestants Row, because I thought that this was like every minute of this was really hilarious. And I think if they'd gotten to play a game, like maybe I wouldn't have felt the same way. But Tyler and Corey get this
and other Corey.
Yeah. Tyler, Corey and Corey. And other Corey looks like the third member of Tyler and Corey.
It looks like their child.
Yeah, he does. And you can tell like the three of them are just like broing down out there on Contestants Row. And at this point, I think they start to realize they're not going to get to go up and play a game. They're terrible at bidding. It's really kind of a lost cause. So at this point, they just start bidding $1 repeatedly.
And my favorite part about this was the smart TV, and we got the rare dinging noise, meaning that somebody had gotten the bid exactly right. And part of me just really wanted it to be like a trick prize, that it was all made out of cardboard, and Tyler, Corey, and Corey actually were right, that it was only worth $1.
That would have been amazing.
You got the impression that he didn't even, Corey, second Corey, didn't even want to go up on stage. He's like, I'm hanging with Tyler Oakley, because like the last time it was so obvious if they had bid the high number they would have gone up, and he bid $1 again. And I was like, he doesn't even want to go on stage.
Well, I apparently, and Claire also said this, that like Tyler and Corey were so much fun she kind of didn't want to go up either.
Oh my God. Okay, if we do these composite team seasons, I want to have like a four-person family edition-esque season where we have Brooke and Claire and Tyler and Corey competing together on one mega team.
I would watch that. That would be amazing. Like any combination of the four of them, I would watch.
That raises so many interesting things you could do if you do two teams together. It would be
intersection.
TV,
great TV. The Amazing Race intersection.
Yeah.
We're giving them so many ideas. I hope they're listening.
Yeah, I think they're always listening, because that's how we got a mid-season replacement. Yeah, so I just loved Tyler, Corey, and Corey. It was kind of an I think Contestants Row is not necessarily the most interesting place on the show. And this was something like I kept watching for and I wanted them to go up and play, but then I kind of didn't. And when they just started like geeking out about The Price is Right together, that was kind of, I was fully on board with it. So anyway, Kimberly gets the price exactly right. It's not a dollar. So she gets a TV and she gets $500, which guess what? When I was a kid, it was only $100. So good for her.
It's adjusted for inflation now.
I guess so. It's like when they doubled all the dollar values on Jeopardy.
But and also, I mean, Nat and Kat are going to be their usual Nat and Kat selves, which is not the most interesting TV personas, but they are going to dominate the hell out of this because not only are they going to be the only team on all three nights to get the bid exactly right on Contestants Row, but they're going to get all three mice here in the rat race and they're going to get the 1-2-3 finish as well.
Yeah, and yeah. This prize, dude, this is better than many showcases.
Yeah, it was insane. The Maui trip looked amazing. First class flight to Maui, and then you get a BMW. It's like, and then they all not only got the right bid, the guacamole maker, I forget the name, also they got exactly right. I was like, who is the brains? Is it Kimberly or is it Nat and Kat? I think it's probably Nat and Kat, but all of them were just ridiculous.
To be fair, Nat and Kat had 2.5 brains because Nat was pregnant.
That's true. It does make you smarter.
Yeah, and then the one rat just broke. So they basically they're going to win two things no matter what. And then they get all three. It was like, my goodness, I'm stunned.
The pink rat was like that older couple on every season of Amazing Race that like usually doesn't go very far. Like Anita and Arthur from season 13 that you're like, oh, you're gone. You're gone.
You just like circle them. You're like, they're going to be out first. And they just kind of walk around and hold hands and they're done.
They're in it for the experience. I think Pink Rat really learned a lot about himself.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Pink Rat at the Elimination Station bonus videos.
Pink Rat will go to the final destination and just wait there on the mat for everybody else to show up.
Yeah, we also did see Phil again start the Amazing Rat Race and seem very excited to do it. So another Phil appearance.
And I was excited that they renamed the game the Amazing Rat Race.
Well, I feel like they couldn't not play this game, right?
You know, this is how often I watch Price is Right these days because I don't get days off randomly anymore. But I had never seen this game before, and yeah. I love it. Like, where has this game been all my life?
It's great. It's part of the Drew Carey era where a lot of these are. I know, but I watched it a few times over the years because my daughter got really obsessed with it when she was like 4 or 5 years old and we would DVR it and watch it on the weekends. But then she got bored and that made me really sad. But this is always, she loved this game. This was like her favorite game.
I mean, it's adorable. I had nothing bad to say about this. And honestly, for many reasons, I think if I was going to go on the show, I would probably want to play this game just because A, the prizes are bonkers, and B, it's cute and there are rats and it's fun.
So you have to wonder, and I'm not putting on, you know, obviously I don't want to put on my tinfoil hat here because I don't think producers can really like game the system to help people out. But what do you think the chances are of someone getting the 1-2-3 and getting all three prizes on it if they happen to guess all three prizes correct?
Well, there's three rats total, right?
Three out of five.
Five rats total, 3 out of 5. So you're going to win something if you get at least one rat.
Yeah, and people do win this game pretty often, though I can't remember seeing all three, though I'm sure it's happened before. But that was, a lot of times people are really bad at the bidding. It's kind of like cliffhangers where they don't really understand and they go way off. But smart people will destroy this game.
Yeah, she was spot on. I was impressed. Like, I think maybe having three people up there playing as a single unit, maybe that's better than having two people up there playing as a single unit, unless one of the two people is Snoop Dogg. But because that remains my favorite Price is Right moment, maybe of all time, was the week they had Snoop Dogg randomly coaching everybody at the Price is Right, and it turned out that he was insanely good at the Price is Right.
He's some sort of like savant.
Yeah, he was legitimately a Price is Right savant, and he would just tell people the answers and they'd get them right, and it was a joy to behold. So Maybe having two extra coaches there is like having one Snoop Dogg. I don't know what the equivalency is, but anyway, moving on, we got one more game here. The final people are Aaron and Joslyn for some reason. The equivalent of the pre-merge boots.
Before we get to that, I mean, Kelsey and Joey are called down here. I don't know if you guys noticed this. Was there a mistake on George Gray's part? Because he called Samantha Williamson's name twice. And the woman who walked down to greet Kelsey and Joey was not named Samantha Williamson.
That's very weird.
Because I wrote down Samantha and then I thought I made a mistake and crossed it out. Oh, George Gray.
Oh, well, yeah, I thought, you know, you don't see a lot of people with mom haircuts and T-shirt surgery named Samantha.
Yeah, they're usually named Shelley.
Yeah. So that was very strange. I don't actually know what that lady's real name was.
I think it also was Kimberly, if I read her name tag correctly.
Oh, so there was extra Kimberlys. Kimberly, yeah, Samantha.
It's like Survivor Africa. There are two Kims.
Okay. All right. So which Kim is this? Is this Mama Kim or is this Kim Powers?
Well, I guess it depends on who you want to call more successful, because the other Kimberly got up on stage. Now, does that make her the more young, agile, strategically adept Kim Powers, or is she the Kim Johnson because she actually lasted longer? I'm assuming the latter.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I don't know. Yeah, so I guess as nice as it would have been to see Kelsey and Joey play, that's not what happens. And we get Robert, who is part of, I think you guys probably remember this from your long and storied past of Price is Right watching, but there's always this group on the Price is Right. There's a bunch of military guys that show up in uniform or in matching outfits. And I was surprised that they had enough of them like to form a group for Amazing Race Night, but that's how it goes. This guy's a Marine and he's paired up with Aaron and Joslyn, who I think were all right, but they were gone very early in the season, so I don't really know. But I guess they have their clever branding to go by. And he plays squeeze play, which is another one of those let's get him out of here fast games.
Yeah, this game took like 30 seconds.
It's also mostly, I guess this one wasn't, but a lot of it's kind of random. It's like, pick one of these numbers. It's not as bad as the any number game, which was, I think, was on Big Brother, which I was like, oh my gosh. It's like Vegas Vacation when he goes to that casino and they just ask him to pick a number. It's basically on that level. But yeah, and this is one where they had the prize was a motorcycle and like watercrafts, and I'm watching that going, that's the one where I declined the prize. So I don't know. He didn't win anyway, so it didn't matter, I guess.
They've had the same jet ski up there for 30 years because nobody actually wants it. I also note that he got the only loser horn of the night.
Yeah.
Because I guess the flight time in Big Easy, they still technically won a prize. This is the first time that someone outright lost a game.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of, I was glad to hear the loser horn. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. But
yeah, he did still win like a $3,000 prize with his 1 year of calling and two phones and the whole thing. So I guess he came out okay. But yes, he did get the loser horn.
Spoiler alert, though, he came out better than okay.
Yeah.
Right.
They were using the Amazing Race theme as the victory theme for these games. Why didn't they use the ominous rattlesnake noise that they use on the show for the loser horn?
Yeah, or the gong.
When he made the wrong choice, they just play the gong over and over.
When they won, they should have had the like da 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 da.
And they should like cut to like Phil, like they should cut to like the camera zooms in on Phil as if like we don't know what's going to happen, and then he'll reveal the information.
Pops his eyebrow, and then he reveals the information. Actual retail price. Yeah, so Do we think that this Robert guy has ever watched The Amazing Race in his life?
I wonder that about a lot of the people, because I mean, on Survivor, people were losing their minds about the cast members. And we went back on this about personalities and all that. But yeah, I mean, maybe he knew who they were. I mean, I guess he was happy that they were, you know, young and energetic. I don't know.
I mean, but even if he was an amazing race fan, though, he'd be like, who are these people?
That's kind of my point. But I guess any day where you're playing The Price is Right is not a bad day. So he's already got that going for him. Doesn't really matter who's up there with him, right? So, yeah, we get to the showcase. And this is, you knew one of the showcases was going to be all trips. And nice of them to acknowledge that Amazing Race didn't start at season 15. We get to go to three places that Amazing Race has indeed been, which it would be hard, I think, to give away a trip on this show to someplace Amazing Race had not been at this point.
So you can go to Italy and you can put together a really frustrating statue in the middle of the night. You can go to Alaska and you can bomb on a memory task. Or you can go to Seychelles and everyone will hate your season.
That's true.
I was thinking you're going to say you could go to Alaska and lose your clue and then magically find it, like, just through, like, by following another plane or something.
Or you can go to Alaska and then receive a notice when you get there that someone had already taken the trip ahead of you and you just have to kind of find your way back home.
You can go to Alaska and, like, have to dig clues out of a dead fish. Man. They could do a whole season in Alaska, couldn't they?
Yes, this is where our composite team season will take place entirely in Alaska.
Well, since they can't do a Survivor season there, why the hell not?
Did you know, we should also mention that the models, because the people that were showing this first showcase were fan favorites, Ashley and Allie.
All right, so let's rank it. And I know, Jess, I don't know if you know LaJuan too well, but I guess I don't know if we can do a power ranking instead of a ding, marry, kill of. I'll put Ozzy out of the picture here. So we have the Ice Kababes, we have LaJuan from Big Brother 13, and we have Sierra Dawn Thomas from Survivor Worlds Apart. Who do you think is the biggest fan favorite out of those three?
That's a very good question.
Oh, my gosh. Well, wait, LaJuan, in Big Brother, there was another person up there,
No, it was LaJuan and Zingbot.
I don't even know what the Zingbot is.
Dan, your eyes will soon be open to the wonder that is Zingbot. Has become like an unofficial mascot of Big Brother, which is weird because it's a robot that casts shade and they want that to be like their big symbol of the show. I guess it just represents the internet community in general. But I would put LaJuan as number one because LaJuan, even though he made arguably one of the stupidest moves in Big Brother history, he at least kind of has like a fun following on the internet because of his personality. Whereas I don't know if Sierra Thomas or the Ice Kababes have that big of a fan following.
Oh, maybe if you're a rodeo fan or an LA Kings fan. I don't know. But I think Zingbot kind of boosts LaJuan's profile a little bit. See, even I know who Zingbot is.
Well, I am planning on maybe watching Big Brother this summer, so maybe my eyes will be opened.
I'll just send you a video, Dan. There's somebody online made a compilation of all these Zingbot segments from seasons 12 through 17. You just need to watch that. Arguably, it might be the highlight of each Big Brother season of recent memory.
It might be the only reason to watch Big Brother.
Specifically because by that certain point in the season, you are kind of getting tired and really hating everyone in the season. So to have someone go in and kind of just vent to these people about how much they suck is a little cathartic in a way.
Yeah, no, I think that might give the edge to Big Brother. But of the others, I guess Sierra. And it's nothing against Ashley and Allie, but I guess it's a close one.
You know, I have a soft spot in my heart for season 23, but yeah, even I
apparently sort of the producers of this show.
Yes.
Well, I think part of it is that season 23, everybody in that cast is still very close to each other. Like the Ice Kababes have stayed in touch with the Afghanimals, and Brandon and Adam, same thing. So maybe it was just that it's like the Afghanimals. They knew they wanted the Afghanimals, and the Afghanimals were like, well, hey, can I bring my friends? You got anything for them to do? I'm guessing. But, you know, Allie and Ashley, this is in their wheelhouse. They did a good job. They pointed. They gestured. It was all very nicely executed.
Yeah, maybe they should pull a Jay Byers and or Pete Yurkowski. And if there's a competition next time of, internet votes on the new Price is Right models, that could definitely apply now that they have a subset, a modicum of internet fame to help boost them a little bit.
It depends. Does that pay better than being an LA Kings ice girl?
Probably not as cold.
Probably not.
I think it pays pretty well. I mean, some of the people seem to be on there forever, but I think they were better at it. Sierra and Ozzy looked really confused during their part.
Well, so Ozzy looked confused and horny as well.
Yeah.
Isn't that how he always looks?
It's not a good look for him. Well, I don't know. But Ashley and Allie did seem to be like pros. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they win the spokesmodel competition. For sure. And I've never, like, apparently they've got like different models all the time. They don't really have like the same stable that they did. You know, the same models were on The Price is Right for 10 years when I was a kid. And now they kind of swap them out every few weeks, it seems like. Like, I've never seen this Australian dude with all the teeth.
I think he was one of the ones that won. He might have won the internet competition that Jay and Pete were competing in.
Oh, that guy beat Jay and Pete?
He okay. might have. I mean, it's interesting. Big Brother, they acknowledge Big Brother Australia. I noticed The Amazing Race did not acknowledge Amazing Race Australia at all.
Well, that's because they don't want to be outclassed.
Well, with the exception of season three, maybe.
Yeah. Well, season three, we don't want to talk about, but they're definitely not going to bring in anybody from the first two seasons because it'll be like, hey, remember this version that's much better than yours?
Yeah, that's probably also why they would never do like a crossover with Canada, because they'd be afraid of the same problem.
Yeah, yeah. Phil does not want any part of John Montgomery coming in there with his enthusiasm. Just saying, Phil's got the market cornered right now. And, you know, the two of them in a room together would not be pretty. So I did notice also Drew seemed in a much better mood. Like in Survivor, he seemed like he was kind of over it very, very quickly. And like when he signed off at the end of the night, it was really half-assed. And this time he seemed like he was in good spirits. So
yeah,
maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the previous two shows, he tried to like tie things into the shows, even though it's very clear Drew Carey does not watch any of these shows. But it seems like whether it was because like, he hasn't seen Amazing Race and he assumes that nobody else has seen Amazing Race. I don't think he makes like any references to Amazing Race whatsoever on this show.
Yeah, it's more like, I was told this guy named Phil would be here. Here he is now.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to, like, he kept saying nice to meet you to everyone on the Amazing Race one, Drew did. So I don't think, like, with some of the people on Survivor, they've probably crossed paths at some point. A few, like a Boston Rob or someone like that. I doubt it was completely new to him.
Yeah, the rest of these people, it's like, well, I go to a lot of LA Kings games, so I know those girls.
And I watch the Globetrotters a lot, so I know those guys.
Yeah, and I've been to Santa Barbara and watched the news channel, so I know that anchor guy.
Oh, I don't know. Are we sure that they recorded them? Like, what was the order of recording, too? Because maybe this was the first one.
No, I'm pretty sure it recorded in the order it aired.
They did? Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
I was just curious if maybe they flipped it around, and that's why he seemed like looser now.
So you think he was getting sadder? It was actually filmed in reverse order, and he just got more and more tired as the days went on?
I think he kind of...
like, I'm done.
I think he kind of broke through to the other side. You know how it kind of comes around again.
Or maybe Phil's energy was just so infectious that Drew fed off of it. I mean, he did an improv, you know, TV show for a good number of years. I know he definitely kind of feeds off of the energy of the other people that are on stage with him. So maybe Phil was just that much of an energy presence that it really got to him.
Phil was yes anding him.
Yes, a lot.
As opposed to like Julie Chen, where he was just like, something's... there's something weird going on here. I don't know.
There's nothing behind your eyes.
Yeah, they have to plug her into the charger during the commercial breaks.
To be fair, Julie was warmer than she seems on Big Brother, and she's a hell of a lot better of a cue card reader than Jeff Probst.
Yeah, Jeff Probst, what was up with that? Like, it was like the cue cards were on the floor.
Yeah, Jeff Probst would be a horrible Saturday Night Live host.
Yeah, let's hope that never happens.
I think that time has passed.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But yeah, Phil did a great job of announcing the second showcase, and he was pleased that they were going to, you know, the South Island, New Zealand, where he hails from. So that was pretty good. And you get a trip and an ATV that nobody's ever going to keep.
unless you're the Border Patrol, right? Didn't their like leading package show them on ATVs going down the beach?
Yeah, but they probably rented those. Nobody wants to keep one of those things. Where do you even put it?
Yeah, I was wondering that too. It's like, what, it's not like you can just like drive it down the street. I mean, you can't just like go on the road. You have to haul it to like the course or something. That's just a really, really weird prize for a showcase. And they use, I think they use those kinds of things a lot, but I think maybe they don't want you to take it.
Yeah, I think it's the same one. They've had the exact same ATV in there for like 30 years, and they just kind of haul it out every so often, and they adjust the price a little bit. But they don't want you to take it home because then they got to get another one.
It's possible. I did like that also they had the cycling trip mentioned because of Phil's cycling experience, like where he rode across the country. So I think Phil was also very excited by the one day. Like they almost sold it like the trip was just to go ride a bike. And then at the end, they're like, oh, you're going to ride a bike for one day. It's like, oh, okay. It's not like a biking trip.
It's not so, like, you know, they get off the plane and they hand you a bike.
All right. Your next leg begins now.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Make sure you get all the way around the island or it doesn't count. Yeah. I also liked Phil ripping open the clue and then realizing, like, all of a sudden you see 15 years of Amazing Race history hit him in the face as he realizes how much environmental damage all those little clue tabs did.
Yeah. What did you think in general about this whole idea of, you know, we didn't talk about Phil, again, didn't use many props during the showcase showdown, but we did have Drew during every contestant's row take out a clue from a clue box and rip it open to reveal the price. I thought it was a nice thing because Big Brother and Survivor don't ever utilize things on paper aside from tree mail. So it was cool to like incorporate that aspect into the show, I felt.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed a little bit more seamless than some of the things they tried to do. So. Yeah. All right. All right. We've gotten all the way through this episode. We've watched by this point 3 hours of Price is Right that we wouldn't normally have watched. Is there anything else we need to touch on before we go?
I said this during the Survivor podcast, but I thought this was just like, granted, I don't think that this past season of Amazing Race was as incendiary as something like the Survivor finale, but I know there was disappointment in almost a very similar mentality of the Survivor finale. So again, I felt like this was like a nice, fun, lighthearted, turn off your brain way to just kind of take in Amazing Race, especially knowing that the show is going to disappear for what might be up to 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, it was cool to see Phil having fun and to see, yeah, because I mean, the Amazing Race finale was kind of odd. I mean, it was fine, but then the Survivor finale, yeah. But it was cool. It was like, yeah, it's like we're heading into the summer. Let's have fun with all these people we've seen mostly in the last few years from the shows. And then, you know, we won't think about it too much. Well, except for Amazing Race Canada until the fall. So it's cool. You know, it's like, I agree, Mike. I agree with what you said on the Survivor thing. It also, I mean, because I was so confused after that finale and whatnot, but it was fun seeing Jeff and all the people just kind of acting like goofballs.
Yeah, it definitely, it's a great palate cleanser, like leading us into the summer. And it kind of, you know, it does bring everybody of a certain age back to that place where you are turning off your brain. You're not learning anything.
I learned a lot about what Mucinex costs personally.
Yeah, and you know, since most of the time, like, it's almost Pavlovian when I think about watching The Price is Right. I'm like, automatically, I'm either, like, taking cold medicine or I'm, like, drinking flat Sprite and eating saltines.
Or making muffins.
Yes. Yes. All right. So, yeah, the seasons of all of these shows may be over. Big Brother actually is about to start up. But we have lots of great coverage coming to you this summer. Dan Heaton and I are going to be watching Amazing Race Canada season 4, which will be premiering, I believe, sometime in July. They just wrapped filming. I've heard some great things about the season so far. Apparently there is a Big Brother Canada crossover.
Yes, I'm assuming neither one of you have seen Big Brother Canada thus far, so I'm really excited to get your unabashed first take on this team, having no prior knowledge as to what they've done before on Canadian television.
Well, are they going to be an Allison and Donnie, or are they going to be a Rachel and Brendan?
Well, we're going to have to see. I think you would think one thing initially, but looking at their relationship status right before it filmed, it might actually be another thing entirely.
Well, I'm very intrigued. I'm going to be very excited to see what this is like. Maybe it's a total non-starter, but I guess we'll find out. So make sure you guys tune in for that this summer. And, you know, in the fall, whenever Amazing Race comes back, Rob Has a Podcast, we'll be back to give you all the coverage, all of the exit interviews, and all of the trenchant analysis you have come to know and love. Although I will probably not be involved for next season, but I'll be back. You have not seen the last of me, Rob Has a Podcast world. So thank you all for tuning in and bearing with us as we go through this insanely strange episode of The Price is Right that also would have functioned as an insanely strange episode of The Amazing Race. But, you know, I hope that our energy, like Phil's, carried you through. And we will see you guys for whichever show in the universe you are interested in partaking of. There are many. Thanks for listening. Good night.